Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Pete on Sports with you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Russell at that time. He will, of course, be covering the NBA draft. Keep you up to date on that throughout the night right here on The Fan. Great to have you with us. Chip Briere joins us now. He, of course, covers the Washington football team via their website with The Beat. Chip, how are you, sir?
Doing very, very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Chip, we've come close to the fairy tale a couple of times. Are we... Yes. Are we getting closer to the fairy tale getting complete, or are we watching opportunities slip away, literally, week by week here for Alex Smith to get all the way back here?
Yeah, we were so close, and a questionable rough in the passer call later, and now we're just sitting here looking at Alex Smith in the press conference today, asking him how good it felt to get out there in his first start in 2 years. Today is 2 years to the day of that injury, and he's so calm, cool, and collected that it doesn't seem like it bothers him that he didn't get that win. But the competitor that he is and this fan base, you have to believe that time seems to be running out for if he's going to get that chance, because despite everything that happened the last 2 weeks for Alex Smith and this team, they still are at the door of catching up to the NFC East division lead. And as long as they are in the race, you have to think Alex Smith is still the quarterback, and he's proven it with his play. 55 attempts, the most in his career, 38 completions, most in his career, back-to-back 300-yard games on essentially a 50-50 leg. So I think it does happen. I just don't know when now, because I predicted it was going to be the Lions. And the Bengals, even though they're 2-6-1, they've got Joe Burrow, who's looking pretty decent. So I it's a toss-up to me at this point. I hope it happens. I really do.
Yeah, they've got some nice weapons, too. I mean, Higgins and Boyd playing really good football for them right now on the outside. And, you know, if Joe Mixon is reasonably healthy, and even Samaje Perine's run the ball effectively for them here of late. So they definitely have some weapons. Their defense can be pierced, though. And, look, I mean, I'd love to know what was going through Alex's mind as Scott Turner is throwing in these plays and Alex is realizing, my gosh, Scott Turner must think I'm Peyton Manning here. We're just chucking the ball all over the field. And I know when you fall behind, you have to do that. But as you mentioned, 55 attempts, that's certainly not the way you would draw it up if you had to do it. But the fact that, you know, in his first start, where he obviously got all the reps this past week in practice, irregardless, I mean, if you didn't know he had an injury, you know, the guy's performing almost pretty much where that kind of performance was where he was. In fact, Jay Gruden wasn't even asking him to do that when they were at 1.6-3 under his leadership. I imagine Alex is, if you really gave him some truth serum, this past week had to surprise him a little bit that he was able to throw the ball that many times, do it that effectively, and more importantly, didn't turn the football over.
And on top of that, he had better receivers with Terry McLaurin and Cam Sims, and he was throwing the ball further down the field – than he was averaging before he got the injury. You look at Alex Smith, he looked better in some respects, and that could be a credit to Scott Turner's offensive scheme against the Lions' pass defense that had been struggling all day long. But I got to point to Terry and Cam because they have found some chemistry between those two guys. And Steven Sims now doesn't have to be the number two. He can be in his natural position in the slot, and you have a downfield presence with the receivers that Alex Smith just didn't have back then. He had Jordan Reed. He had Josh Doctson when he was healthy. But beyond that, he didn't really have much. So he was constantly checking down to his running backs or to his safety options just to try and get the first down. You saw an aggressive Alex Smith who is planting his foot in the pocket under pressure and delivering the ball down the field, over the middle, along the sidelines. And I think it is a credit to Cam Sims and the work that he's put in. Also, Terry's leadership in encouraging Cam to go out there and play the best football that he can. We cannot stress enough, myself personally and the media beat that I talked to, this is Cam Sims' coming out party, and he has the best chemistry with Alex Smith because you know where that football's going. There's no wild cards. It's going to get on the numbers or in your hands.
I think, too, the one thing we've seen, too, Washington's been able to abuse teams when they play zone coverage. I think you're going to see teams probably try to man up here a little bit more and send an extra body after Alex Smith to try and get him off of his spots, because clearly he is one. The one thing he's shown is when teams play zone, he's been able to pick that apart here of late. And I think I agree with you. Cam Sims' emergence as another target has helped. At the other side of the coin, you know, watching the film back to be able to stop it and start it and look at some things, you know, Antonio Gibson still has a ways to go as a running back. I mean, he was a wide receiver at Memphis who got a handful of carries as a running back in his last year there from Mike Norvell. And some of the things that he's missing out on instinctively, if those come, he's going to build himself into an explosive player. There were a couple of cutback lanes that he missed the other day that he could have run forever on. But, you know, that's part of the growing pains. Overall, they've got to figure out a way to run the ball effectively, Chip, because, I mean, obviously he's shown you he's gotten one 100-yard game under his credit. You'd have thought maybe it was this past week, and I know you fall behind. It reduces the amount of chances to do that. But they've got to find a way to run the ball more effectively. And I know they've got to learn with Antonio, but how do they do that right now? I mean, Scott Turner, you know, certainly seems to be in love with Alex Smith being able to throw the football, but I don't know if you can even do it 40 times a game with Alex Smith and be successful. And I'm concerned that that's the trend that Scott may be setting here from a play-calling standpoint.
It certainly looks that way, but it could be that the Lions' pass defense was struggling and they just saw an opportunity there. But for Antonio Gibson's sake, what he needs most is an offensive line that's stable. And there are injuries plaguing the trenches. Morgan Moses practiced at the left tackle today in the walkthrough, so it looks like he's going to be the left tackle for the Washington football team's offensive line. So there's a lot of shuffling around, some inconsistency there. And when you have any kind of imbalance in your best players in the trenches, you're not going to get those holes in the running lanes you would like to see. What I look for in rookies, I've been doing this, I'm young, I'm only 29, I've only been covering the NFL for about 7-8 years professionally, is I always look at their intangibles. Antonio Gibson's intangibles, when he has the ball in his hands, he has great cutting ability, lateral movement. That's going to bode well for him in the NFL. Once he gets a stable offensive line, a full year under his belt, a better feel for the game and the tempo, the momentum, the rhythm of the game, you'll see those numbers go up more consistently. Last week was just a matter of they got down. You mentioned it already. They got down. Gibson has been trying to find his place out there. He's been splitting snaps with McKissick. I think he's in a good spot. Scott Turner needs to get him in motion more. I just don't personally think. And if I were to see Scott Turner face to face and he said, "Why are you calling me out?" Like, I'm not calling you out. I'm just giving a suggestion that Gibson is good in space. Get him in space so he can make some people miss and churn his legs to get 2 or 3 extra yards. Because that's what he's done. That's where he's doing his damage, is by getting one cut and churning forward for 2 to 3 extra yards.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I've watched Antonio do some ridiculous things in space while at Memphis, seeing him in person. Let me ask you this about Morgan Moses. This is a guy that's had, in my opinion, if you know, we're talking about people in consideration for the Pro Bowl. Morgan Moses certainly has to be in consideration. I think it's his best season as a Washington football player. We saw his leadership intangibles on the sidelines, you know, trying to get after some people to encourage them to play better. Now he's, you know, taking the move over to left tackle to try and help the ball club here. I think this has been his best season as a pro. And as you say, you know, looking from a consistency standpoint, not only has he been consistent, but he's also developing into a leader. And I'm not sure this offensive line necessarily had that. And it looks like he's fulfilling that role here.
It wasn't too long ago. Trent Williams was the captain of the offensive line, and he was the best player on that team offensively. And then he misses out last year. We won't dwell into that because he's a 49er now. But then Brandon Sherrick came into the offseason as potentially the best offensive lineman on the team. Morgan Moses has always kind of had an underrated quality to him. And I had a chance to cover him when he was at UVA. And I interviewed his old head coach at Meadowbrook High School and talked to his old teammates. And this is something he's been doing his entire life. He's always been a consistent player. He's the kind of guy who's going to put on the hard hat and go to work. It's kind of like that Virginia Tech mentality. It's funny he went to UVA instead because he was so good for that team and ended up with the draft pick that he did. This shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, the progression of Morgan Moses. It's just that in a vacuum of this season where they are trying to win an NFC East division title race with not that many cards in hand, he's the guy who's reminding him, look, we're working. We're still in it. Don't give up. Put your hard hat on and go to work. And when you see him get injured and go back on the field, as he has done year in and year out for this franchise, and to finally have an opportunity to be a leader, it's going to not only galvanize the offensive line, but galvanize the whole team. And he needs to get a captain patch if he hasn't already. He really does. Him and Terry, I think, should be the new captains of this team moving forward for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I would certainly not argue putting a C on the shoulder of Mr. Moses at this point. Thing I've asked everybody we've talked to this week, look, the record's 2-7. We know that.
Yep.
But, you know, the trajectory, though, of the team certainly seems to be more competitive, going in a better direction. And while the wins and losses have not necessarily shown that, the way the team has competed has, in your mind from watching the team, it certainly looks like a different product than we saw a year ago. Much more competitive, even in the last three games. I mean, there are a couple of plays from being 5-4 as opposed to sitting there at 2-7.
Yeah, just look at Jonathan Allen last year. There was a quote that he had, I'm paraphrasing it, where he said, we go to work, we need to go to work, we need to keep working. There was a couple of expletives in there. It was after a hard loss. But now you're seeing it with this team where years past, you might have seen guys slow down a little bit during the game, feel defeated. These guys are in it. Ron said it after the loss of the Lions. We're learning to win. We need to learn to finish. Those two should go hand in hand. But experience speaks volumes. Now that these guys are starting to get it figured out, they can start to turn that table. I will caution, though, they should be progressing at a steady rate. I haven't seen them take that next step. It should be a small step. Just a small step. The Giants, on the other hand, after that win, went and beat the Eagles, and they are taking 3 steps right now, and Joe Judge looks like they're doing a really good job. So right now, I'm comparing the Giants and the Washington football team together because they were both at the bottom of the barrel in the preseason in rebuild years. They're still a game apart, and there's still a chance that the Giants could slip up and Washington gets some games here and beats the Eagles and the Cowboys. So that's what I'm watching moving forward. If Washington can finish the season ahead of New York, I think that's a victory season. I know they're going for the division race, and I said last week with Reese Waters, 6-10. That's what I want to be loud wrong on that, but now my prediction and my wants has changed. I got to see Washington be better than the New York Giants because at the beginning of the year, the Giants were a bad team, but now all of a sudden they're 3-7, a game ahead of Washington, who looked better at the beginning of the season. That's where I'm at right now.
All right, where's the fourth win coming from, Chip? Because if you count Cincinnati, Dallas, and then Philadelphia at the end of the season, where's that fourth win coming from? Are you hoping San Francisco still beat up like they are? Is that where that fourth win's going to come from to get them to 6-10?
I think it's this is going to shock you. I think it's Carolina. I think it's Carolina.
Yeah.
I think it's Carolina because Rivera is going to be fired up for that game. He's a very even-keeled guy, high character, high class. But the NFL, for the people I've talked to, they always have certain games circled. Ron Rivera is going to have that one circled at home right after Christmas. That'd be a pretty great gift to get a win over his former team to let him go. I think it's Carolina would be that fourth win. And then if they beat the Eagles, cherry on top.
Well, let's hope his players have that game circled as well. Chip, appreciate the time today. And obviously, let's see what happens. Maybe Alex can finish the fairy tale this week against the Bengals. Let's hope so.
Yeah, Hollywood would love it. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it, Chip. Thank you. 1-800-636-1067. You heard what Chip had to say. I mean, if they're going to finish ahead of the Giants, how many wins is that going to take right now? I mean, the Giants have won two in a row. However, they did fire their offensive line coach today. We'll tell you that story when we return. Plus, we can get back into the calls, too, as well, about the Wizards tonight. Do they make a deal? Do they stand pat? Do they pick at nine? And obviously free agency later this week. I mean, which side of the aisle are you on? Westbrook or Wall, if Tommy Shepard has the opportunity to make a deal tonight? Do you want him to make that deal? Had some good calls on it last hour. Let's get back to it. 1-800-636-1067. That's how you reach us here on the AAA Always On Call listener line on Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
6-7 Fan. Westbrook side, if that's the deal that goes down, maybe Tommy Shepard does something else tonight to enhance the ball club. But Tommy doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's not going to do something just to do it. It's got to drastically help the club, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. We'll see as teams have done a lot of talking and planting seeds with all of the NBA guys like Shams Charania and Woj and Mark Stein and all those guys. And people plant those seeds, you know, just to see what the reaction is like, to try and garner some momentum, get that opposing GM to think about it. We'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, Giants today fired offensive line coach Mark Colombo right here in the middle of the season. After the team has won two games in a row, you would think everything is going gangbusters. It's peachy in New York. No. Joe Judge wanted to bring in longtime NFL assistant Dave DeGuglielmo, who's an offensive line guy, as a consultant. Well, apparently, Mark Colombo didn't like that, and he and Joe Judge had some nasty verbal confrontation. Now, Jason McIntyre of Fox Sports Radio said they actually got in a fight, and that sources told him Colombo kind of pummeled Judge a little bit, got the best of him in the altercation. Now, sources to ESPN have said there was no physical altercation. There was verbal back and forth and plenty of name calling, but that Colombo and Judge did not get into a fist fight, as one report indicated, according to a Giants spokesperson who said the report of a physical altercation is absolutely false in every way. Now, their offensive line was actually getting better. That's why they've won two games in a row. But apparently Colombo felt threatened by bringing in, you know, a person of DeGuglielmo's stature as a consultant. And, you know, Judge, being familiar with him, Judge is kind of a hands-on guy, but offensive line is not his forte. Remember, he was a special teams guy in New England, so he wanted to bring DeGuglielmo in, and apparently Colombo didn't like that, and they got into a nasty spat about it. Now, here's my thing in the first place. If you are a hands-on guy and you, you know, don't have offensive line in your holster as an expertise, then why did you hire Mark Colombo in the first place? Why didn't you hire Dave DeGuglielmo? That's where, you know, between Judge and Dave Gettleman and things there in New York, somebody's got to be, you know, I mean, obviously Jason Garrett's familiar with Mark. He was an offensive line guy in Dallas. But if that's the case, if you're not familiar with him, then why hire him? I mean, if it's one thing coaches are guilty of is they hire too many people that they know and too many people in their back pocket. And those people are hard to get rid of at times. He's got no allegiance to Colombo. So, of course, they get in an argument, and Colombo's the guy that's gone because Judge is the head coach, and he can make that decision. But you would think everything is just rosy in New York right now with them winning two games in a row. A lot of positive momentum. But, unfortunately, they have this incident now. Will that be a distraction for this club in the short term? I would think the players are a little bit, you know, better than that. We'll see. Offensive line certainly seem to be finally getting a little bit better. But their leader is now out. There's a new voice in the room as you get set to play the back half of the season here, where you've at least played your way into contention in the division, believe it or not, with two wins in a row. Oh, man. See, it just goes to show you. Winning does cure a lot of ills, but, you know, in this case, a nasty spat gets a coach fired on a team that had won two games in a row and seemingly had turned the corner a little bit. Your thoughts at 1-800-636-1067. Coming up, Casey Kiernan from AM Hoops joining us to talk NBA draft. And will we see any of these rumored moves? Could Harden be headed to Philly or Brooklyn? Could Westbrook be headed here or to somebody else at the last minute show some interest in Russell Westbrook? We'll find out when we join you next. 1-800-636-1067. It's Pete on Sports until 6 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Pete on Sports with you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Great to have you with us here on The Fan this afternoon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Good afternoon. As we try to continue our NBA talk here, you can always look around and find tremendous content. And Casey Kiernan brings some of that, not only with his AM Hoops podcast and YouTube channel as we lead into this NBA draft and free agency just a couple of days away. Casey, appreciate some time here on a busy Wednesday. I know for all of you that cover the NBA. A lot of talk here in D.C. about the Shams Charania rumor that floated last night with John Wall and Russell Westbrook being talked about in trade talks. The salaries certainly match, but which side wins in a move like this, in your opinion?
Well, if it's a straight-up swap, then I would say the Wizards and their GM Tommy Shepard would win that. But, you know, the new GM in Houston doesn't want to get fleeced in his first ever deal, right? He wants to have a really good impression, and his name is Raphael Stone, never been a GM before. And so he's asking for more, right? He's asking for more compensation, probably the number 9 overall pick in this draft. They're already in this draft at number 14, a deal they did with the Portland Trail Blazers. But can you imagine that? Your first week as a GM, and also the new head coach in Houston, the first week and your superstar James Harden demands a trade, Russell Westbrook demands a trade, and neither of them may get done because they've said they're willing to go into this thing the season and be uncomfortable if that's what it takes. But from the Wizards side of things, I mean, would it really make that big of a difference? You know, the guys make just about the same amount of money, same years on the contract. They're both not great without the ball. Their fit with Bradley Beal, at least John Wall's, has always been a little questionable, right? And that wouldn't have that much of an upgrade with Russell Westbrook. He can't shoot. Russ can't shoot. So I don't know, without that extra compensation, this thing's even going to get done.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And obviously Houston's going to want a lot in return. And if I'm Washington, I don't know I'm in a position to give up a whole lot in addition to John Wall in this deal. I mean, to me, you know, look, Portland made it tough for everybody, giving up 2 firsts for Robert Covington, and we can talk about the value in that. But if you're Washington, you're nowhere near as close as a Portland is, you know, as a playoff team to give up multiple picks, in my opinion, to get Russ. Even though Russ has got, you know, 3 years left on the deal still, I'm not sure there's value there in giving up multiple first-round picks in the future, as Houston supposedly wants in this deal.
Absolutely not, and that's why I doubt that this deal will get done. I mean, to be totally frank, you mentioned the YouTube channel, AM Hoops. I went ahead, wrote out a script, recorded a video just in case the James Harden thing drops, right, at any moment. I did not do the same with this Russell Westbrook rumor because of exactly what you're saying. To me, the Wizards would be just crazy to add extra. Like, what are they, that desperate to get rid of John Wall? We've been hearing over and over how good he looks, right? I think the only caveat to that would be somehow if Bradley Beal said, okay, if you make this move, this makes me feel a lot more comfortable. Do not trade me. Definitely not. And obviously Beal will, you know, he will have to sign off on any little deal, right? So clearly this deal too. So if Bradley Beal went to them and said, do this, this is what I really want. But I don't know if anything indicates that that's the case there with Bradley Beal. So I don't see it getting done.
Obviously, before we move on from the Wizards, one piece that they're going to pay attention to starting Friday at 6 when free agency starts, Tommy Shepard has said Davis Bertans is the big focus of their free agent period coming up here. Can they get a deal done, or does somebody and a better team maybe come in and take the outside shooter away?
Yeah, I don't think that anyone else does. Obviously, they've got Bertans' bird rights, so they can pay him more than anyone else, except if somebody wants to really break the bank and pay up using cap space, and there are only 6 teams with cap space. That would be the Heat, the Knicks, teams like that, non-contenders along with the Knicks, like the Hawks or the Pistons. And so if any one of those teams really wants Bertans, then they'll get them if they want to pay more than the Wizards can. But I don't see that happening, especially like with a team like the Miami Heat, who might want a veteran sharpshooter like Bertans. But the Heat want to preserve that cap space for Giannis Antetokounmpo in next year's free agency. And the same deal goes with, like, the Toronto Raptors, who could have cap space, but they don't want to spend, right? So any of these contending teams,
they've got an eye on Giannis, so I don't see Bertans going anywhere. I think he'll be in D.C.
You mentioned having a script ready in case James Harden gets dealt. Clearly, Philadelphia, you know, Daryl Morey being there, there's a relationship. Obviously, Brooklyn's name has been mentioned. There's a relationship with Kevin Durant, obviously, there. Does a deal get done tonight for Harden, in your mind, one? And if so, is it to one of those two places, or do you see somebody coming from off the beaten path here to get involved in the James Harden sweepstakes?
Man, the only other team that I could envision would be the Denver Nuggets, because they've got Michael Porter Jr. And, you know, what the Rockets want back are a load of picks. Like you mentioned, how Portland made it tough on everyone by giving up two for Robert Covington. Well, you know, Drew Holiday got three first-round picks. That's Drew Holiday. Imagine what James Harden would get. I mean, he is a MVP-level player still in his prime, right? Like, he averaged over 30 points a game last year. And so what the Rockets want are a boatload of picks, like at least six, plus pick swaps. If they get picks from the Brooklyn Nets, they're going to want picks after 2024, because that's when presumably the Nets would be bad again and those picks would be high. Or they want a really talented young player, and that's why I threw the Denver Nuggets in there. I can't think of any other real talent who's young who could be on the market other than Michael Porter Jr. So that's why I would throw the Nuggets in there. And then with Philly, you know, Ben Simmons is the guy that I think might be on the table, and he would be the best available player the Rockets could get back. You know, I don't see Kyrie Irving. I heard that thrown out there. That's insane to me. Kyrie Irving is not on the table whatsoever. And so, you know, the Nets could offer Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, some B-plus players, but none of them as good as Ben Simmons. So I would think maybe the Nuggets, the Sixers, or the Nets. And, I mean, it's so hard to read these things. Does that deal get done tonight? Well, you know, the reports we hear from Houston aren't. We're willing to be uncomfortable. Is that just them negotiating in the media and just trying to drive that price up, saying, oh, no, we'll walk away from the table? Because, you know, that's the ultimate leverage in any negotiation, is a willingness to walk away from the table. Are they actually willing to do that or not? We have no idea.
Just as you asked, you know, did the Bucks really get closer to competing with the Lakers, who won the championship, or just as good as or better than the Heat and Celtics in the East with the Drew Holiday move?
I think that what wins in this league are stars, superstars. And, you know, I'll always get the person coming back at me with the Dallas Mavericks a decade ago, or a decade before that, the Detroit Pistons, I get it, who had like Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton. Look, once every decade, yes, a team without multiple superstars will win, or the Raptors. But it's like, look, a lot of these times that is an extenuating circumstance. Like, the Raptors won, sure, with Kawhi, because the Warriors were injured. Yes, the Warriors a few years before that won their first title because the Cavs were injured. Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving. And so it happens, but you need multiple superstars 9 times out of 10. And the truth is, the second best player on the Bucks still is Chris Middleton. And we've seen that over and over, year after year. Can't make the conference finals or the NBA finals, let alone be better than the Lakers or whoever else, like you mentioned. So I know that they made some moves, and I know we're very excited about those moves. But at the end of the day, Chris Middleton is still the second best Buck, even though they've got Drew Holiday on the team, Bogdan Bogdanovic. Did the casual fan know the name Bogdan Bogdanovic before yesterday? I don't think so. And look, I know Drew Holiday is a great, you know, great locker room guy. He's been an all-star once. When I'm trying to pump up Drew Holiday, I call him former all-star Drew Holiday. He was an all-star like 6 years ago.
Right.
He's a very good player, very good defensive guard. They had a defensive guard, Eric Bledsoe. So, no, I mean, look, I don't blame them. This is the best they could do. I just don't think it's good enough.
Let me ask you, too, as we're talking about the East, I mean, obviously, you know, Brooklyn showed a lot of spunk, you know, this past season. Now you add Kevin Durant and potentially what you hope is a healthy Kyrie Irving. How does the two of them together with, even if they don't make a deal for Harden and the Nets roster and that core stays intact, what's their impact on the Eastern Conference race as long as they stay healthy and can stay together for a full season there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got to be the favorites in the East. All things being equal, like you said, talent-wise, I don't think anyone can match them. And believe me, if they don't make that trade, they've got depth as well. You know, this is, to me, reminiscent of the LA Clippers last year where, wow, they've got all the talent in the world. They've got tons of depth as well. But can they, in a first year together, have that chemistry, stay healthy, like you said? But then I think the Nets have an extra sort of wild card in there, and that is the locker room drama that is potential to exist there with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And those are two notorious divas in the NBA. Kevin Durant is at odds with the media. I mean, if there's one big winner in all this, it's the New York media. They're going to have so many stories. I mean, Kyrie already this year, like we don't even need to bring up all of his Boston Celtics missteps or in Cleveland. Just this year with the Nets, he said after Steve Nash was hired, he goes, well, I don't know if we have a head coach, whatever that means. You know, to me, we don't have a head coach. We're kind of like by committee. Like the day his new coach is hired, he says that. There was a report that he didn't want James Harden on this team. So there is a Kyrie circus and a KD circus that exists. But if they can somehow manage that, I think they're favorites in the East.
I was going to say, though, let me ask you this. In your mind, I think I know, but which player do you think has the hammer there? Kevin or Kyrie?
It's got to be Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's an all-time great, and Kyrie's just an all-star. I know he's a lot more ball dominant, but at the end of the game, when you need a big shot, I say they go to Kevin Durant.
Yes, sir. I would agree with you. I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Do we expect any surprises? Certainly at the top of the draft tonight, I look at this draft, and I swear this has the potential, and I hope I'm proven wrong, but this has the potential to be like the 13 draft where the best players were at 15 and 10 in my mind in that order in the top 15 with Giannis and then CJ McCollum. This draft, in my mind, has some potential to be like that. We just don't know what LaMelo is going to be against this caliber of competition. You know, Anthony Edwards was, you know, thrown into a situation at Georgia where, you know, he had to do a lot of things for that club and at times really, you know, stood out and looked the part. And James Wiseman, you know, hasn't played since December because of the issues at Memphis. I mean, do you see any surprises here at the top? Teams like Boston got an amazing amount of draft capital if they can find a partner to make a deal with and try and move up, and they seem to be interested.
Yeah, I think they have to, actually, because Boston has 14 players already. I believe they have four draft picks because they have, let's see, three in the first round. I forget the number, but they've got four incoming rookies is the point. And so they also are way over the luxury tax. So actually Boston's hand is kind of already forced. Boston has to do something with these picks or start cutting veterans who are already on their team. So I think Boston will move up, and that's not a surprise to me. But what I am really interested in is who is going to trade down, because there are all these reports about Minnesota is shopping this number one pick. The Warriors obviously are shopping the number two pick. But it's funny because what you said, this could be like the 13 draft. There aren't enough people who want to trade up or at least pay, you know, the asking price to trade up. And so in every deal, there are, you know, it takes two to tango. These guys want to trade down, but it's not good enough of a draft for people to want to trade up that bad. So I'm really interested to see if we keep this draft order or if it really gets sort of shuffled up there in the 11th hour.
Would the three number one picks in your mind be good enough to get you to the top three? Would it take the three number ones to do that?
Can you rephrase that? What do you mean?
If Boston dealt all three of their firsts to move up.
Oh, I see what you're saying. To number one?
Or even into the top three, two or three.
Let's see. So you got Charlotte. I'm just thinking about the needs, right? So would Minnesota do that? No.
because what they need is a veteran to go with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. Would Charlotte do that? I think, yeah, maybe Charlotte might do that because, you know, Charlotte is sort of in need of a specific direction, right? And maybe stockpiling young talent would be something that Charlotte does, but I would say three would be the highest they could go.
All right. Case, appreciate the time today, and look forward to your coverage post-draft draft after things get cooking tonight. Appreciate the time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got it. Casey Kiernan, you can follow him on Twitter, at Casey, Casey with a C, Kiernan with a K, E-I-R-N-A-N. It's excellent content on his YouTube channel as well. And like he said, he's got a script ready to go if James Harden, you know, gets dealt tonight. And certainly on the surface, it certainly appears as if Philadelphia and Brooklyn would be the two strongest cases to try and acquire Harden. Certainly he has relationships in both places there. Daryl Morey in Philadelphia and obviously with KD with Brooklyn. And I think, you know, people forget a little bit, you know, with talent-wise anyway. You look at the way that Brooklyn club played last year without Kevin and Kyrie, whether they make a move for Harden or not. You bring in KD and Kyrie, and if they stay healthy, and that's the key clearly with both of them at this point, whenever you have players that have dealt with injuries, you want to make sure they're back. But, you know, there's no question Kevin's got the hammer there with that group. He's going to lead there with his play on the court, and that's going to be a team that is going to vault up those Eastern Conference standings and compete with Miami and with Boston. And my goodness, if they were to get Harden on top of it to go with the other two, certainly be a great dynamic, that's for sure. And as Casey said, it would be fun for the New York media to cover that team. But I'll tell you what, if somehow Brooklyn got Harden tonight and you had Durant, Harden, and Irving, I'd love to be a fly on the wall of James Dolan's limousine driving around tonight with the New York Knicks. I mean, you talk about Brooklyn just taking over, you know, in New York as the team. And I know the Knicks and MSG, they've got all that, you know, charisma of the great arena and all that other stuff and the Knicks name and everything. But the difference between those two franchises would be gargantuan if somehow Brooklyn got a hold of James Harden to go with KD and Irving and LeVert. I mean, Dinwiddie, those guys, that's a good, good ball club. Could they beat the Lakers? I don't know about that. Could they beat a couple of the other top contenders in the West? I don't know. You could debate that. But, man, they would be tough to beat in the East. That's for sure. Coming up, we'll talk more about this hour. Get back to the John Wall, Russell Westbrook discussion. Which side of the aisle are you on? Do you have any other thoughts about the NBA draft tonight? And from our conversation with Chip Briere, and I'll take issue with something Chip said earlier. When we come back here after the top of the hour. Your thoughts always available here with one more hour to go on the AAA Always On Call listener line at 1-800-636-1067. Speed on Sports with you at 06 right here on Sports Radio 106.7 Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.